In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's Gospel, we have four distinct teachings that seem to go in completely different directions. However, if we look at them in individual pieces, we can see that perhaps they are pieces to a puzzle. And we begin to see that our Lord is presenting us with a fuller understanding of the pathway to the kingdom of God. First, our Lord begins with the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This was not the first time that this saying had been used in the Jewish culture. Other variations of this saying had been circulating for many years. It was a manner of expressing the total sum of all the commandments in a very simple way. Take, for example, theft. None of us would like to have our things, our belongings, stolen from us. So we are admonished in the commandments not to steal from others. None of us likes to have lies told about us. So we are admonished in the commandments not to bear false witness, not to lie about other people. In this way, we can more or less summarize the commandments that govern our relationship with each other. In essence, Christ here is calling us to obedience to the commandments of God, to the law that God has given us. But at the same time, he's showing that our obedience must also come from a realization that law not only restrains us, but it protects us. In the sense of someone stealing our belongings, it protects us from that theft. At the same time, it restrains us from stealing someone else's belongings. So it has two sides to this law. Everyone, therefore, has a vested interest in upholding the law, because without the law, each and every one of us is at risk of harm from his fellow man. Second, our Lord speaks about the narrow gate and the wide gate. This is a presentation of a choice that we must make. And this is not the first time that we see in Scripture a choice being given to the people of God. We look in Deuteronomy, and there Moses speaks to the people, and he says, "See, I've set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live." And in the book of Joshua, Joshua similarly says to the people, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Then we look to the prophet Jeremiah, and we hear these words spoken to the nation of Israel: "Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death." In today's gospel, Christ confronts us with a similar choice: the wide gate and the narrow gate. The wide gate is the path of ease, the path of least resistance. Our Lord says that many will try to enter by the wide gate. The narrow gate is the one that is more difficult to get through. It's the one that we have to work to get through. Think of it this way. None of us builds a structure without putting forth labor and effort. None of us writes a book or a piece of poetry without putting forth effort or thought. In the same way, Christ is admonishing us here that heaven is something that we need to be working for, something that we must be longing for. A nun once said, in order to get to heaven, you must be dying to get there. Those words are so true. We have to be longing to enter into heaven. We have to have this desire to work towards this eternal goal. We might believe that choices that we must make are relatively easy. We might believe that we can discern easily good from evil. And we may say to ourselves, of course, I will always choose the good because I want to go to heaven. But more often than not, the choices that we have to make are not quite so clear. Take, for example, stocks and bonds and investments. In today's workforce, we have the possibility of contributing money to 401ks and IRAs, and we have the potential of purchasing mutual funds. These things can be very good. They can be investments that provide return. But it isn't quite as simple as purchasing this or that fund. Because you see, in purchasing a fund where many companies are represented and your money is dispersed into many different companies, you may actually be participating in a company that is involved in some immoral activity. The companies in those funds may be involved in pornography. They may be involved in various types of drugs, or the production of various types of weapons, against which we as Christians must say no. These are not proper, and these are not proper investments for a Christian to make. And so with these choices that we're presented with, we're required to do some research. We're required to look further into the matter, to better understand our choice before we make it. The wide gate would be the way of the person who simply doesn't care about where the investment is made, but only cares about the profit that comes back. The narrow gate would represent the person who is conscientious about where his or her investment goes and makes sure that the investment is going into a morally licit endeavor. What path do we choose? Do we always make the right decisions? Do we always choose the good, the narrow way? Third, our Lord speaks to us about false prophets. And here he speaks with two specific analogies. First, he says, you cannot gather grapes from thorns. Now, In Palestine, there is a particular thorn bush that produces a cluster of berries that resemble grapes. But they're not edible, and they give no nourishment. And there is a thistle that produces a flower that from a distance resembles a fig. But here, again, there's no nourishment. There is no value in eating that particular thistle flower. And so our Lord is telling us that false prophets who come and present themselves as teachers, their fruit does not satisfy. It doesn't build us up. It doesn't prepare us to make the choice of the narrow gate. We have to be on guard. He says they come as wolves in sheep's clothing to deceive us. We have but to look around in our world today to see scandals that continue year after year, scandals involving leaders, religious leaders. And we have to realize that their fruit betrays them. And we can see them for who they truly are when we look at their fruit. There was a story this week of a televangelist who claims that the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he needed to purchase this multi-million dollar jet for his ministry. One must question such claims. In fact, if we look back to the Didache, which was one of the earliest writings of Christian literature, we see that a prophet who comes requesting money is called a false prophet. We see that a prophet who comes and stays one day is fine. Who stays 2 days is fine. But if he stays 3 days or more, he's a false prophet. So the early Christian community had various rules that they set down to determine who was coming in the name of the Lord and presenting our Lord's teachings in a truthful manner. And as a matter of fact, the Jewish community also had rules and regulations that governed the teaching of rabbis. Rabbis were not allowed to charge money for their teaching. They were required to have jobs to support themselves, and their teaching, which was considered their fruit, was given for free. So today, we must look at the sources of teaching that we take and accept. We must look at the fruit of the teachers. We must be sure that we're listening to those who have been commissioned by our Lord to speak His word. Finally, our Lord says to us, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What is He saying? When we say, Lord, Lord, we profess our faith that Jesus Christ is God. What He's saying is that not everyone who professes that Jesus is God will go to heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. And here our Lord ties back in to what He has just been teaching us. We have to have an obedience to the commandments. We must be careful in choosing the correct path. We must listen to the true prophets, the true teachers. And we must have to bind our faith in Christ to our works done in His name. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord give us the grace to recognize His will and to carry it out in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.